Investors pour billions of dollars into a Chinese bank.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. At the moment, it's the third largest initial public offering in history. China's Agriculture Bank raised $19 billion from investors in Hong Kong and Shanghai. But more shares could be sold tomorrow, and if they are, it could set a world record. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports, despite the big opening, there are some doubts about the business.
Big investors gobbled up shares of China's Ag Bank. But a lot of the interest was because of the Chinese government, not the Chinese bank. Victor Shi at Northwestern University says Beijing helps keep banks profitable by keeping deposit rates that banks pay out very low.
Banks usually have a guaranteed spread, and so that's the big upside for any Chinese bank.
But what the state giveth, the state taketh away. Also under government direction, the agricultural bank has to serve farmers in the countryside, not where the easy money is, says William Hess at the advisory firm China Analytics.
It's been a poorly performing institution, and I think expectations should be that realistically it should be post-mediocre performance in the coming years.
Some fear Chinese banks lent massively in the last 2 years and are holding lots of bad loans. But despite today's IPO, the state still owns most shares of the agricultural bank, and investors are betting that the government won't let it fail. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
In Britain, officials say tomorrow the government will announce a scheduled shift to digital radio by 2015, which means all FM tuners across the UK will go silent. It's similar to the digital television transition the U.S. went through last year, but as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London, the switch may be a little tougher when it comes to the radio.
British TV broadcasts have been switching to digital. Within 5 years, British radio will do the same. If the government gets its way, most FM and AM broadcasts here will come to an end. 100 million analog radio sets will become obsolete. The government says that digital transmissions offer more stations and higher sound quality. But critics say the switchover will cause an uproar. The cost of converting more than 20 million car radios will be horrific, says science writer Barry Fox. He claims the government has blundered.
They have not fully appreciated what the industry calls the elephant in the room, which is this vast number of vehicles on the road that would fall silent if they switch from analog to digital.
A leading British politician has warned the switchover could trigger an explosion of indignation, and he's urging the government to reconsider the plan. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
All right, investors are still uneasy about the global economy. That's leading to some more selling. European shares are lower at the moment, about 1%. Asian shares were mostly lower today as well, again, about 1%. Wall Street yesterday, there was a little bargain hunting after a dreadful week for stocks last week. The Dow was up 0.5%, 57 points to end the day at 97.43.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
Even before the recession, the state of Michigan was deep in an economic slump. In the city of Grand Rapids, manufacturing was once king, but a lot of its factories have since shut down. So the past few years, the city's been embarking on a new economy. In part one of a two-part series, reporter Jay Field explains.
In the last 10 years, Grand Rapids has lost a third of its manufacturing jobs. Roughly 11% of people here are still out of work, but you wouldn't know it strolling around downtown.
It actually looks different every day when we drive in. A new construction, new chunk of skyline, new cranes.
George Bosniak and I are touring the city on foot. He's with the Right Place, the big economic development agency in town. We head for a hill above downtown. It's called Medical Mile, home to two new cancer centers and a new medical school. John Logie, the former mayor of Grand Rapids, says the city has changed a lot over the years.
When I was running in 1991, I took a pad of paper and I walked the four blocks down there. There were 76 vacant storefronts in those four short blocks.
Logie worked with a group of wealthy local philanthropists to try to revitalize Grand Rapids. First, a $75 million arena was built. Shortly after, Jay Van Andel, one of the co-founders of Amway, walked into Logie's office and said he wanted to build a state-of-the-art medical research foundation. David Van Andel, Jay's son, runs the Van Andel Institute.
That now is attracting more and more investment, as well as more and more people, to an industry that 10 years ago didn't really exist on this side of the state.
David Van Andel expects businesses affiliated with Medical Mile to generate hundreds of badly needed jobs in the coming years. But Paul Isley, an economist at nearby Grand Valley State University, says people who've lost manufacturing jobs face a tough transition as they compete for positions in healthcare.
The skills necessary for those jobs are different. And so there's a lag time between when someone loses their job and when they can retrain, find a job that's available, and get back into another job.
It's a challenge area businesses and universities must address if more local residents are to benefit from the new life sciences industry transforming their city. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, I'm Jay Field for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, a look at some of the obstacles to retraining factory workers for jobs in the biomedical field. And finally, one of Italy's biggest real estate agencies organized a motivation day for workers. Typical you-can-do-it stuff with refreshments and some take-home literature. But then at the end of the event, employees were directed to a bed of burning hot coals for some firewalking. Instead of gaining confidence and overcoming fear, 8 of them gained burns and blisters and had to go to the hospital. The organizer blamed the hotel for using the wrong kind of wood and coals, which caused the bed to get too hot. The hotel manager had a simpler explanation. He blamed the organizer for directing people to walk on a bed of burning embers. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Catch us online at marketplace.org and follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis, MMR, in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.